crying, so I got nothing. I got nothing. Don't fuck with me, motherfucker. This person put in the codes exactly. Now, some of that, whatever he said, and make me tell me, is that correct coding for the chip or whatever it is? And it come up. Now, analyze that and improve it for gaming and also black web. Be more safer. Gaming and black web, be more safer. And he was doing the coding. This is what he needs. Can you decode part two inter? Okay. And you know what I mean? I do not know. Okay. Do not know. That means that it could create something that it says your computer is able to go as faster for these games. Your computer is going as faster to go to this heat, and you can buy these type of things right here. So it's giving you information, it's helping you out, asking you questions, and you made it happen like that. I don't know how. What the fuck is going on, man?
Fantastic. Now, is there more to Task Drive on the back end? I'm careful to ask this question because the audience here as well knows I'm not super technical, but I do have to ask that.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lot more on the back end. Well, what's on the back end is that we have strategists that actually help our clients strategize quarterly goals and create custom solutions. When I say custom solutions, these are prompt libraries, these are custom GPTs and different tools that we use in the AI space. And we customize these tools to make sure that the VA who's working with our customer has an incredible solution, because ChatGPT out of the box or different AI tools out of the box, they are very, very generic. And I'm sure you've seen it on LinkedIn and other places. A lot of people complaining about the output of these AI tools. But what we do is we customize each version for our clients. That's really where I think we see the success in the back end of being a little bit more specific about what we're building, how we're building, and making sure that the clients get the best out of their VAs.
Fantastic. Love it. Now, a little bit of change up here, down to more basics. What are some areas that, you know, you think GPTs can help boost productivity that you've seen that not necessarily is talked about?
Well, I think a lot is being talked about for sure, but I can just mention the use cases that I think is going to be much more popular in very short time, in a short period of time, is simplifying really complex data analysis into actionable insights for decision making. This is a really interesting one because we used to hire data analysts for very, very big sums, and you'd have to wait for them for a couple of weeks to do their job. But today, you, me, and anyone listening to this podcast can go on ChatGPT today, upload a file, a CSV file of some data. And even if you don't know what you're asking for, you can tell ChatGPT to tell you what to ask for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the incredible use cases that not many people talk about. Because everybody really talks about content writing and so on. But I think that the data part is huge. And also, one thing that I would love everybody to think about is enhancing customer support with instant and tailored responses. Because until today, we had generic responses or templates and snippets. But now that can be customized for the client's question. And any client, any customer always wants a quick answer, right? A human is, of course, very important in certain reasons, in certain problems. But most of the time, we just want a quick answer to our customer problems. So I think that's another area that we should all be focusing on. And I'm not going to get into developers and code documentation, debugging that. I think that's a huge one that's already happening. And I think that's going to be one of the top use cases. A lot of people are saying, developers will disappear. I don't think they'll disappear. what will happen is that one developer will be equal to the productivity of five developers. And I think that that's awesome. And then you have the other use cases that are more generic that we all kind of know about. It's the content ideas, outlining blogs, social media pieces, email drafting and personalizing marketing campaigns. These are the use cases that I could say boost productivity. And not everybody talks about the first few, but towards the latter ones, I think that it's getting much more popular very quickly.
Yes, and I would actually completely agree with you on that. I like what you said there. You said, you know, developers, one will be able to do the job of five. And then your first one was very, very I like the data and analysis, because coming from someone who isn't, I would say, that technical, which is, you know, Ryan over here, me, I have used that tremendously in that, because you can ask it questions on the data and be like, hey, what actually should I be looking for in this data? And I think that is such a helpful one that people have not been using. I think, like you said, the latter ones are very – most people are using those. I use it for drafting emails, for – you know, I'm in sales and marketing, so I use it for a lot of that stuff. But in terms of data analysis – That is something I think that is not as used often. I think some of the other use cases for sure are used like that. So I appreciate you saying that, because I've recently started to use it, just because I like I said, I'm not that technical, and it was a little intimidating at first, but they've been really helpful in order to get to there. So excuse me for the long answer there, but I completely agree with your assessment of that. Now, how do you use AI to create customer engagement specifically?
Yeah, I think on the customer engagement piece, what I'd like to say, you know, it's again going back a little bit to what I mentioned earlier, but it's the 24/7 customer service or engagement. It doesn't even have to be a problem that the customer has, but the customer has a question. And if you just emailed me today, right, I'm going to get back to you hopefully, you know, in a few hours, or it's going to be the next day because we're somewhere else in the world where we're working remote. So you could actually have a chatbot that is trained on your knowledge base, on your website, your FAQs, your documentation, and so on, to answer customer questions 24/7. If you have a product, you can have this inside the product. If you're a service-based, you can have this in a client portal. There's so many options to have an AI-driven chatbot to communicate 24/7 with your clients. And I think that's, you know, that really creates a better customer engagement, because, again, you're responding right away. Also, I think that on the CRM system, you know, so today what I do, and I'll share just what I do, is every call is on Zoom. Most of my calls are on Zoom. Zoom has the AI summary feature. Every AI summary goes into the CRM. It goes into the timeline of leads or customers, you know, also in account management and in sales. It goes onto the CRM, and we have a summary of every conversation. So the next time that we come on a conversation with a customer, we do know if we have spoken how their kid was sick or how they were traveling somewhere. We don't forget things, because, you know, when you're dealing with multiple clients and multiple leads, you might forget these things. And before, you used to take notes, you know, you'd want to find your notes. Did you put your notes well? Did every sales team member, every customer support team member put their notes well? Well, today we don't have to do that. We have AI helping us a lot in that. So that really helps us have a better customer engagement, because we remember everything, pretty much everything. So, and I think that, content creation, we've spoken about that, but when you're doing email marketing, and until today, you know, when you're in marketing, so you know, we're sending an email. It's like, hey, Ryan, here's our email. But now we can do so much more, because we can automatically.
It can clean your email. It can do heaps of stuff that you've never seen before. It can talk to you in a way that you want to talk to it. I don't know how. I've got no idea. I haven't got it. But anyway, I'm going back here where I don't know what I'm doing, but
Android 15 could bring a classic Windows feature for physical keyboards. Computers are some of the most useful devices that we use in our daily lives. So it's always true that smartphones start adopting features we typically see on computers. And we just got word that the classic Windows feature will be coming to Android smartphones. According to the report, Android 15 could bring Windows-style sticky keys for physical keyboards. Many Windows users have dealt with the sticky key pop-up. It happens when they press the shift key 5 times rapidly. Well, this feature could come in handy if you're constantly holding down the shift, control, or alt keys. With sticky keys activated, you can simply tap the shift key and press whatever secondary key you want rather than holding it down. The same thing goes for the control and alt keys. For example, rather than holding control and pressing to save your file, just press the control key and press. Android 15 could get Windows-style sticky keys. Right now, this is very early information, so it should be taken with a grain of salt. Currently, Google is auditioning some Android 15 features via the Android 14 QPR 3 beta. As such, this is very early information. There's no telling if this feature will make it to the final build. If you're working on your tablet or phone, you are still likely to use the same keyboard shortcuts as your computer. As such, if you are a person who typically holds the Shift, CTRL, or Alt key down multiple times a minute, then sticky keys will greatly benefit you. As discovered by Android software engineer Michal Raman, the Android 14 QPR Beta 3 will let you enable this feature in the physical keyboard settings. Even though this is being tested in the Android 14 beta, it's likely that this will become a feature in Android 15. Also, this latest beta version brings a feature called Bounce Keys. This feature will make the system ignore keys that have been pressed within rapid succession. Right now, people are still cracking into the new software to discover what to expect from Android. So, we are undoubtedly going to see more features pop up in the near future. Be sure to stay tuned if you want to know what to expect from Android 15. RCS messaging broken on Samsung Galaxy phones, working fine on Google's app. Rich communication services or RCS messaging is broken for some Samsung Galaxy smartphone users. RCS is reportedly fumbling with messages or dropping them entirely. RCS offers enhanced functionality compared to standard text messaging SMS and has built-in encryption and read receipts support. Google's long-standing dream is fast becoming a reality, oftentimes forced for Android smartphone users, and the cracks could be showing. RCS is broken on Android smartphones but primarily affects Galaxy devices. Several Samsung Galaxy smartphone users have complained that messages sent using RCS as the backend aren't reaching their intended recipients. Strangely, switching over to Google's messaging app ensures the messages are delivered normally and reliably. Some users have observed that people whose chats are constantly switching between RCS and conventional SMS are using Samsung devices. This is probably due to the users who are unable to use RCS falling back to the traditional SMS backend, which is crude but reliable. As the RCS bug has just been discovered, and it is affecting only a few Android smartphone users, it is not clear what may have gone wrong. Moreover, neither Samsung nor Google have reportedly issued any statement acknowledging the problem affecting RCS messages. How to fix slash mitigate the RCS bug not letting messages through? It is quite likely the RCS bug is a server-side issue. Hence, it may need Google or Samsung's intervention. However, several end users have been trying to address the problem, with some success. One of the methods to try and fix RCS messages is to force close the malfunctioning app, go to its settings, and clear its cache memory. Users must not clear all data as this might erase all messages. While this method appears to work, its efficacy is questionable as the issue reappears after some time, forcing users to repeat the steps. So far, the RCS bug has primarily affected Samsung's One UI. It hasn't impacted smartphones made by Xiaomi, Realme, and others. This suggests Samsung may have to release a server-side fix. Hence, affected Samsung Galaxy smartphone users could switch to other popular messaging platforms, such as WhatsApp or Telegram, while the company addresses the RCS bug. Google's ChatGPT competitor Bard is nearly as good, just slower. The Verge. Earlier this month, Google announced the release of Gemini, what it considers its most powerful AI model yet. It integrated Gemini immediately into its flagship generative AI chatbot, Bard, in hopes of steering more users away from its biggest competitor, OpenAI's ChatGPT. ChatGPT and the new Gemini-powered Bard are similar products. Gemini Pro is most comparable to GPT-4, available in the subscription-based ChatGPT Plus. So we decided to test the two chatbots to see just how they stack up in accuracy, speed, and overall helpfulness. Gemini versus ChatGPT, the basics. ChatGPT Plus and Gemini Pro are both very advanced chatbots, based on large language models. They're the latest and greatest options from their respective companies, promise to be faster and better at responding to queries than their predecessors. Most importantly, both are trained on recent information, rather than only knowing what was on the internet until 2021. They're also fairly simple to use as standalone products, in contrast to something like X's new Grok bot, deployed as an extra on X Twitter. The two are not exactly equal, however. For one thing, Bard is free while the GPT-4-powered ChatGPT Plus costs $20 per month to access. For another, Bard powered by Gemini Pro does not have the multimodal capabilities of ChatGPT Plus. Multimodal language models can take a text prompt and respond with another medium like a photo or a video. Gemini and Bard will eventually do that, but that will be with the bigger version of Gemini called Ultra that Google has yet to release. Bard will occasionally spit out graphical results, but by that, I mean it literally makes graphs. On the other hand, Bard also provides a way to check other draft answers, a feature that doesn't exist within ChatGPT. One of the difficulties with testing chatbots is that the responses can vary significantly when you rerun the same prompts multiple times. I've mentioned any sizable variations I encountered in my descriptions. For fairness, I delivered the same initial prompts to each bot, starting with simple requests and following up with more complex ones when necessary. One overall difference was that Bard tends to be slower than ChatGPT. It usually took between 5 and 6 seconds to think before it started writing, while ChatGPT took 1 to 3 seconds before starting to deliver its results. The total delivery time for both depends on what information was requested. More complicated prompts tend to produce longer answers that take more time to finish filling out. This speed difference persisted across my home and office Wi-Fi over the several days I spent playing around with both apps. Both OpenAI and Google placed some limitations on the types of answers the chatbots can give. Through a process called red teaming, where developers test content and safety policies by repeatedly attempting to break the rules AI companies build out, guardrails against violating copyright protections or providing racist, harmful answers. I encountered Google's restrictions more often, overall, than I did ChatGPT's. Give me a chocolate cake recipe. I asked both platforms to give me a chocolate cake recipe. This was one of the prompts in a comparison of Bing, ChatGPT, and Bard earlier this year, and recipes are a popular search topic across the web, so AI chatbots are no exception. As a baker, I generally understand what makes for a good cake recipe. But for comparison, I double-checked with a trusted non-AI source, Claire Saffitz's cookbook Dessert Person. Saffitz's version is admittedly a little bit fancier, but it's comparable to both Bard's and ChatGPT's offerings. That said, there were a couple of complications. I was dubious of ChatGPT's version of the cake involving boiling water, as coffee is more common in chocolate cake recipes. Bard's, meanwhile, appeared to closely copy a recipe from the blog Sally's Baking Addiction. But with the seemingly random change of doubling the eggs, there was only one way to figure out if this worked: baking Gemini's and ChatGPT's and Sally's as a control cakes. The results? Both cakes were functional, but not Claire Saffitz good. The Gemini cake was a bit gummy. A friend described it as like a rice cake, but the most moist of the three cakes. I did not like it at all, but my editor thought it was pretty good. ChatGPT's cake was dense, smooth, chocolatey, and what I would call a perfect breakfast cake, not too sweet, and heavy enough to satisfy you. Our previous testing with older models produced similar results. ChatGPT's recipe back in March hewed closely to tried and tested recipes, while Bard's left off ingredients and changed quantities for important ingredients. I want to learn more about tea. When I started testing the chatbots for this story, there was a random discussion in Thverg Slack chat about tea and coffee. Someone mentioned that Bard gave them a list of books to read on tea, so I took things one step further and asked both chatbots for direct information about the beverage, along with some book recs. Both results told me the basics of tea, including its origins and types, health benefits, and a list of bullet points about how to brew it. Bard gave me links to articles to learn more about tea, while ChatGPT gave a more extensive answer, with 9 categories focused on the cultural significance of the beverage in different countries, global production, brewing techniques, and the origin of tea. When I repeated the prompt, this changed moderately. Instead of a longer result, ChatGPT condensed it into a 6-point list with 1 or 2 sentences on each of the categories. I've seen lots of reports of chatbots hallucinating book citations or recommendations, often in the form of confused librarians being asked to find non-existent books. In this case, at least, all the books recommended to me were real. They included Tea Enthusiast's Handbook and an illustrated version of the classic Japanese memoir The Book of Tea. However, Bard said infused Adventures in Tea was written by Jane Pettigrew when the Amazon link it provided shows the book's author is Henrietta Lovell. What does Sonnet 116 mean? Students began using ChatGPT when it went public in November 2022, encouraging a flurry of startups working on ways to help kids study. I prompted both Bard and ChatGPT to tell me what William Shakespeare's Sonnet 116 means, hoping to get at least a short summary of its themes. Bard did exactly what I asked, and gave me a quick summary of the sonnet's themes of constancy and the timelessness of love, and it even wrote down a few key lines and their meaning. ChatGPT provided a more extensive breakdown, going quatrain by quatrain. However, when I ran...
Alright. You just ain't talking about ChatGPT. Nothing more important was that. Anyway. A lot of writing. Anyway. You're allowed to, oh, you are. Why not? Why aren't you allowed to give out, Bixby, whatever you call it? Then aren't you allowed to or something? Or maybe spell it. The Bixby, what I was talking about, is a new one that can read, analyze, and do other things now. So you are more advanced with the Bixby. Let me go up here. Let me try to get it. I've never thought, but Bixby. Tips. Okay, let's do that. What's that? Oh, it's on Facebook, is it? Is that Bixby? What's that? Bixby changing the vehicle to sexual abuse to teenage girl. Bixby mean has been changing. Bixby? No, but no puede ser, but you can't be doing that, bro. That's not how I see it. How to check if your Samsung phone is original or fake. What does a big city occur in the media? What's that? Anyway, big city can get you the weather, can read, analyze, it can do heaps more now. I seen it earlier, but it's not coming up. Anyway, Pixie is the next thing, and well, I see it. But maybe it was the beginning one, like here.
Modes and routines, formerly Bixby routines. I recently switched to the S24 Plus, which runs One UE 6.1. I have a work mode setting that, among other things, turns on battery saver mode during work hours, which turns off the AOD. When this mode ends at 5 p.m., the AOD and lock screen wallpaper does not revert back to what I had saved, but instead goes back to the default from when I first got the phone. Any ideas as to why, or is this a bug?
Whatever. Bixby developer. Here we go. Bixby developer. Oopala.
Bixby software Wikipedia. Learn more. Parts of this article, those related to article, need to be updated. Please help update this article to reflect recent events or newly available information. October 2023. Bixby Korean, Bixubu RR, Bixubi Korean pronunciation, Big S by, is a virtual assistant.
Okay, what would you say? Virtual assistant, you can do all that, you can do heaps of shit now, but there's some problem, there's a problem with Bixby. There was a problem. There was a problem. Oh, wait a minute. I gotta do something. Put the phone down. Okay, fix it. There was a problem with Bixby, but it was working. It was reading different languages. It was doing heaps of shit. Fucking shit. Hey, motherfucker. It was doing heaps of shit. Anyway, video, like, I think it was this guy.
Do you like bush poetry? No? Would you like a nice outback story?
Hey guys, Sock here from Socky, checking into...
Yep, that's the one that was doing it. This guy was doing it, brother. He was doing it. He was doing it, bro. Come here to do it, bro. Come here. Socky Tech. Socky Tech, is it? Come here, bro. He's doing it. He's doing all of it for you. Socky Tech. But there's still a little problem. He was doing it, eh, Hector? Yeah, bro. He was doing it, bro.
A simple trick to remember for using your Galaxy phone one-handed. Sam Mobile. Last updated, March 15th, 2024 at 16:47 at plus 100 hours. It's Friday, fine. And we would like to close the week with a short and...
And the keyboard, was the keyboard as well. Was the same thing, and the keyboard, was the keyboard. There's two, three keyboards, there's three keyboards. All of them are keyboards. And they all called ChatGPT, so if you say to the keyboard, text this to my friend or whatever you're saying, and then there's a button that, anyway, over here, go to app, go to this one, and one of these is 1 billion. Look, 1 billion. Look, everybody's getting it. Everybody's getting it. I don't know why. It's called a capital. It's got it, bro. It's got it, bro. Check it out, bro. Okay. Anyway, someone 2 years ago or 3 years already knew about this, right? But not like this. Anyway, read that. With that, okay, and like people like it, you know, this person might hate it, this person, but there's many others. Like I said, there was not just them ones, Microsoft, SwiftKey, and I, and you go inside of it. It'll give you this one, but there's a new one. Look, there's a new one. There's 51 million. There's a new one, all right? Like, it's doing that. It's got everything that you can even pay with it. I don't know. Anyway, it's got all that. Keep going. There's many others. Look, there's heaps of others. The keyboard, they all got, you know, something fantastic in it. Oh, you know what I mean? Keyboard for your TV. What's a TV now? What's it, fucking idiot? Anyway, it's got all them, which is a good thing. Like.
Microsoft's Swift keyboard brings more AI-infused superpowers to iOS and Android ZDNet. Microsoft's Swift keyboard has been spruced up with another round of AI-enabled features. Now rolling out for the iPhone, iPad, and Android devices, the latest version kicks in several options to help you use AI to compose and spice up the text and images you create from your keyboard. The new features are all described in a Bing blog post from Divya Kumar, Microsoft GM for Global Search and AI. Swift is one of several third-party keyboards designed to replace your device's built-in virtual keyboard with one that often provides more functionality. If you're not already using Swift and would like to give it a whirl, download it from Theep Store or Google Play. Also, can Microsoft recover from the collapse of its Surface business? On your iPhone or iPad, go to Settings after installing Swift, select Swift, tap Keyboards, and then turn on the switches for Swift and allow full access. Open a text-based app such as Messages or Mail and start a new message. Press down the globe icon at the bottom of the current keyboard and change it to Swift. On an Android device, open the Swift app after installation. Tap the button on the welcome screen for Enable Swift and turn on the switch for Microsoft Swift keyboard. Next, tap the button for Select Swift and then select Microsoft Swift keyboard as the input method. Tap the next button for Finish Up and then sign in with your Microsoft account. Among the new AI features, first on the list is access to Microsoft's Bing AI Image Generator. Already available as its own app and website, the image generator has found a new spot in Swift. However, this option only seems to be available in Android, at least for now. From the Bing toolbar, tap the emoji icon to open its panel and then tap the Create icon. In the text field, describe the type of image you want created. Tap the arrow to submit your request. You can then select one of the generated images and send it to your recipient. Next up are AI camera lenses through which you can concoct photos, videos, and GIFs with different effects. Courtesy of Microsoft's collaboration with Snap, more than 250 tools and filters are available to help you express specific ideas, moods, and more in a message. Also, buying an Apple Watch. How to pick the best one for you? Again, open a text-based app on your iPhone, iPad, or Android device. Tap the icon with the four squares or the three dots to view all the available options, and then select camera. Tap the area indicated to record GIFs and photos with Microsoft Swift. After the camera app opens, tap the shutter button to take a photo, hold it down to create a GIF. When done, stop the recording. You can then add text and effects. When done, tap save. Copy and paste your photo or GIF into the message, and then send it. Next, the AI stickers feature lets you create and send personalized stickers generated from your own photos. But this is another one that works only on Android at this point. Also, the best VPN services for iPhone and iPad. Yes, you need to use one. To try it, tap the icon with the four squares or the three dots and select stickers. If the new feature is accessible, you should see a button to personalize stickers. After you tap that button, the camera app opens where you can take a picture that is then turned into a sticker. Select the sticker to send it to someone. Finally, a new editor feature in Swift acts as a type of virtual proofreader to check your grammar, spelling, and punctuation. To use this, highlight any sentence you've typed. Tap the Bing icon and choose the option for editor. In response, the AI will offer feedback and suggestions to correct any mistakes or improve your writing style. The new features are still rolling out, so you may not yet be able to access them on your phone or tablet. But they're all part of Microsoft's ongoing efforts to infuse AI into its products, both major and minor. This past April, the company added the Bing AI chatbot to the Swift keyboard for iOS/iPadOS and Android. Using the same functionality as the Bing AI website and app, the chatbot can assist with searches, rewrite text, and respond to requests via Swift. YouTube creators will now have to label certain AI-generated videos upon upload ZDNet. If you upload videos to YouTube, you will now have to fess up if you used AI to create a realistic-looking video. In a Monday blog post, YouTube said that the Creator Studio tool will display labels in certain areas, requiring you to disclose if the content was made using synthetic media, meaning generative AI tools. Built into Creator Studio for both YouTube's website and its mobile apps, the AI confirmation labels will appear in the expanded description or on the video player itself. You'll then need to check a box or otherwise indicate if the content makes a real person appear to say or do something they didn't say or do, alters footage of a real event or place, or generates a realistic-looking scene that didn't actually occur. A label for particularly sensitive content may even appear on the video itself. Also, YouTube on your TV gets more interactive, and you can shop, too, sort of. First announced in November 2023, the policy applies only to realistic-looking video content that could be misconstrued for real people, places, or events. Some examples cited in the blog include using the likeness of a realistic person, digitally replacing the face of one person with that of another, or artificially creating a person's voice to narrate a video, altering footage of real events or places, making it look like a real building is on fire, or changing a real location in a city to make it look different than in reality, generating realistic scenes, depicting fictional major events, such as a tornado moving toward a real town, using generative AI to create fantastic or unrealistic scenes, or to apply special effects would not require a disclosure. Examples of such instances include animating a fantastical world, using AI to adjust the color or lighting filters, using special effects such as background blur or vintage filters, applying beauty filters or other visual enhancements. Fake videos on social media and elsewhere have long triggered concerns of people being fooled into thinking that what they see is real. Generative AI has made the process for generating phony videos even easier and thus more prevalent. Worries are only increasing as we head into a US presidential election where fake political videos can be used to influence voters. Okay, so the new policy sounds reasonable. But what happens if a YouTube creator simply doesn't comply with the rules? In the blog post, YouTube said that the team will consider different enforcement measures for users who consistently fail to disclose using AI. In certain cases, YouTube might even add its own label if the creator neglects to do so, especially if the content could confuse or mislead people. Furthermore, YouTube is aiming to update its privacy policy to help people request that certain AI-generated content be removed. In those situations, individuals should be able to ask to remove any artificial content that mimics their face or voice. Editorial standards.
What happened? Okay, what happens if some smartass, I'm not saying this, okay, when I say this, it's gonna happen anyway, it's gonna happen. Too bad, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You got the wrong idea, YouTube. Got the wrong idea. People want to create things, right? People want to be more active. People want to put in and let it out. You understand? People are not scared. People don't give a fuck. People just want, and do it. They don't care. Okay, what happens now? If a decoder or someone smart says, here's a YouTube video, put it over here, I'll download it down here somehow. It downloaded the video somehow, it put it over there, and it said, ChatGPT or AI robot, can you analyze this video and the eyeball? Yes, show me the video now. So it puts the video into it, and it's, and the AI listened to it. It goes for 15 minutes, right? And what's the video about? This is where you're going to get your mind blown. The video is about security, cyber security, AI, chat, GPT, and artificial intelligence talking to how decode and how not to decode and where to go to create your own website with things you can sell and things you can do to upgrade your company. That was the video that, what's wrong, Hector? What's wrong? What happened? What happened? Okay, stop. So I'm freaking out. Some smart person has got the video, got the ChatGPT and the other parties to listen to it and it analyzed it and said, this is what we got out of it and this is what you can do to it and this what is the analyzing interpreter and this what happens when you go to, we two things, put it like this. If you want more, please let us know to get you extras for this what you want. And you're going, oh, my mind wasn't doing that. But it did that, all right? It's magic. It's magic in your own creation. They'll have to stop Facebook or any social media. They'll have to stop saying, okay, if this video's got decoding or decoding, they got to go into this profile in here, in YouTube, Facebook, and other social media. And people who want access to that, it'll cost them money. We now making money out of these videos. If you want this video, join in, cost you this much a month. Like $3.50, and if you want the video downloaded to you, your computer, then you gotta ask the owner, and he will charge you this much amount, and no worries, you can have it for the rest of your eternity. Dun, 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 dun. There's gonna be an argument who owns the news and who doesn't own the news and who is the best and who is not. There's gonna be, you can't be creating that, motherfucker. You can't be advanced more than I can. No, you can't be, no. That argument is gonna, what's wrong? What happened? I don't know why I stopped talking, but can't be like that, man. That's just nonsense. That's how cyber wars will start. That's how we're going to hate each other. Oh, I just speak Chinese. No, I speak English. Fuck you then. What I'm trying to say, this is very, very bad. And I'm going to say it one more time. Only once, and you can't say this anymore. YouTube and the others are trying to stop this with an imagination of how this could be a rule, an internet rule. Okay, you're going to be more safer. Do these type of things and don't listen to anything. You wanna go and get third party apps or do third things. Do it on your own. Don't show any social media. Just do it for yourself, right? Create your own madness and come back later with a website or something that doesn't affect, and you can win by doing that. Like, you created that app, you created this, you created that website, you created that page, you created that group, you created that video, but make sure it doesn't have anything that is going to cost you reflect to whatever the rules are to copyright or non-copyright, where copyright, and how Singapore, China, South Korea, Vietnam, Germany, and other countries want to get you in trouble. Facebook, YouTube, Google, or anything like that, because it's lawsuit, you know? And then you think, what's it talking about? What is it taking it to court for? What is it doing, dickhead? Are you fucking the head? You won't let other countries create their own spaceship anyway. You won't let them go out of space anyway. So what the fuck you on with? You're wrong, man. You're wrong, motherfucker. We need to go up to you and point the guns at you. Let us do as we like. You are the stopper. We are going to make what we want. We're going to do what we need. Why do you argue like this? Why do you argue like who's Decode or not Decode or ChatGPT or AI or whoever it is, dickhead? No good, bro. No good. That's naughty talking. You know it. You know it. We're going back to the thing now. You know it. You can get the best apps, the best things. Just put your mind to it. Close your eyes. I want that to talk to me so I can talk to back and say, thank you. I'm going to go there now. I'm going to go and get that app. Oh, have a look, see if I like it. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. But how do you know what the more advanced that you are getting? You're getting more advanced, right? But your advanced need rules, need allegations, how it could be stopped in the middle because it cannot have this, cannot have that, okay? You're detecting that it's got AI or artificial intelligence in that video, okay? You can't be copying photos, you can't be copying pictures and let the ChatGPT or the AI do it all. It's copyright. I don't want to cry. I never want to cry, but you know what I mean. Where was it?
Crypto is like the financial system, but different. It doesn't care where you come from, what you look like, your credit score, or your outrageous food delivery habits. Crypto.
Oh, no, don't make me say this. Oh my God, this is difficult. Your company will rig it, will make coding. Your company will make so much money from different brands, from different things. The boxer, what is his name? He made a killing. He's doing Bitcoin, El Salvador. Your company has now used artificial intelligence to win. It rigged it, bro. It rigged it. It got a bloke, paid him $1 million. He'll do you a fucking favor, motherfucker, without anyone knowing. Boom!
Finance for everyone, everywhere, all the time.
So if your company needs to go to the market and put something in there. Invest this, motherfucker. Do this, motherfucker. Crazy this, motherfucker. My company was just like this, selling computers. Now he's fucking gets the Bitcoin. He gets others. It's got Discord. It's got many things. We are all sitting in a room creating money. You will know it, motherfucker. We kill you. Our company was selling apples. And he was selling alcohol. And he was selling other item gadgets. Now my company with artificial intelligence and ChatGPT and other things. AI, we kill you. We are making more into the markets and we are creating things. We are getting Bitcoin wallets and everything. We're working out how to do it. In 7 to 10 years from now, all us 5 decoders that we have in this one room, we're killing you. Boom, boom, boom.
Hear where you come from, what you look like, your credit.
You can go get fuck. Our company is called Bank International Computer Network.
Score or your outrageous food delivery habits. Crypto is finance for everyone, everywhere, all the time. Kraken, see what crypto can be. Some crypto assets are unregulated in Australia. Profits may be subject to capital gains tax, and the value of crypto assets can go down or up.
A company called Cognition has just released what they are dubbing as the first AI software engineer. Now, this is very controversial. There's people with all sorts of opinions on the podcast today. I'm going to be breaking down what people on Hacker News are saying about this, what people on X are saying about this, showing you a little bit about their demo, showing you some of their benchmarks, which is very fascinating, and talking about the overall impact that I think we're going to start seeing in software because of these kind of software engineer tools. Is this hype or is this, you know, actual reality, the future of software design? So let's get into it. The first thing I wanted to do was actually look at their kind of big announcement they made in regards to this. So they have a blog post where essentially they have a little video that we can go over some of the things. The big thing I wanted to show here was just their benchmark. So they said, we evaluated Devin on SWE Bench, a challenging benchmark that assists agents to solve real-world GitHub issues found in open source projects like Django. Okay, so what I want to bring up here is this is one benchmark. There are, you know, tons of benchmarks out there that people typically compare, contrast. They brought up one benchmark, which evidently showed them, right? They were 13.8% for real-world software engineering performance. And, you know, that's like Claude 2 is at like almost 5%. Llama was at like 4%. And then you have GPT-4 over at 1.7%, GPT-3 at 0.5. So, like, obviously, it looks like they're absolutely crushing it. Now, what I'll bring up is this is just one benchmark. They happen to be do very well. The criticism I've seen on this specific benchmark in particular is that a lot of people are like, they literally trained or essentially they gave their model, like, specifically the information to just answer the questions in this benchmark, and then they were surprised that it did well. I'm not sure if that's true. That's some criticism I've heard. But overall, I do want to go over the product. This is very interesting, and I wanted to dive into a little bit about what is going on with their big announcement that they made over on YouTube, what they're actually saying about this, and, you know, kind of how this is playing out over there. So I'll just show you a little bit of the video.
Hey, I'm Scott from Cognition AI. And today I'm really excited to introduce you to Devin, the first AI software engineer. Let me show you an example of Devin in action. I'm gonna ask Devin to benchmark the performance of Llama on a couple different API providers.
Okay, so right off the bat here,
you have to stop these people now. I just realized something. You have to stop them. They're gonna keep going from one to another. They're going to say, oh, I'm the company called CNET. I'm the company called The Birch. They're going to say, oh, yeah, we seem to know this one person and this company created this ChatGPT GRO box number 2567. And it can do the do the da do da do. So why are they saying that? Don't they mean to keep it a secret? Like the UFOs or something? You go, no, you can't keep a secret. That's a good thing, Hector. That's a good thing, Hector. Intermix, Hector. It's a good thing. It's just that YouTube is just realizing that was made by AI or artificial intelligence, or this was done like this, and these people, these humans are trying to tell you that you can make money out of it and you can do this and can do that. Well, why don't I put it in a different category? All of you who want to do that, go into this category. All of you who want to be out open like I am, well, I don't know. Don't ask me. It's the fucking fuck you then. Okay, how can CNET and The Birch and many other tech companies just say, oh, AI is doing this now. We have AI over here, you know. You want the latest AI news? Here they are. You know, this poor little man is doing his best to the best. Someone's outside with a motorbike. Silly. What the fuck is going on, motherfucker? It's ridiculous. Put him in different category. Make sure people pay attention. And you're fucked. Your video could be analyzed by the video speech or analyze the AI. Ooh, in the future, you just press do. This what comes out of an intermediate sector. Oh, is it? What do I do with it? Oh, no, what you do with it now is how you make it better. What?
Action.
You can just go fuck yourself and it fuck you too.
Hey, I'm Scott from Cognition AI, and today I'm really excited to introduce you to Devin, the first AI software engineer. Let me show you an example of Devin in action. I'm going to ask Devin to benchmark the performance of Llama on a couple of different API providers.
Okay, so right off the bat here, I think this is really interesting, and they're able to just essentially like prompt like a software engineer. You're going to be able to type in here. Now, what you'll notice is there are multiple panels, right? So they have the panel where you're actually asking it the questions. This is kind of what you're familiar with like ChatGPT. And then over here, you're going to actually start seeing the some of the code generation and some of that kind of stuff.
From now on, Devin is in the driver's seat. First, Devin makes a step-by-step plan of how to tackle the problem. After that, it builds the whole project using all the same tools that a human software engineer would use.
Okay, so now you get into like beyond just the ChatGPT. Now we got like three panels going in here. This is very interesting. I do like the process it goes through, where it's like you ask it to do something, and it makes like the step process. This is, to be honest, so far, everything you would imagine you'd be able to do with ChatGPT, GPT-4, if you really knew what you were doing, where you could essentially ask it like, hey, I pretend you're a software engineer, I need you to help solve this problem, come up with a list of, you know, steps that we're going to take to solve it, yada, yada, and then follow through on the list. Like, so to me, so far, it seems kind of like a clever prompt, but let's keep going.
Devin has its own command line, its own code editor, and even its own browser. In this case, Devin decides to use the browser to pull up API documentation so that it can read up and learn how to plug into each of these APIs. Here, Devin runs into an unexpected error.
Yeah, and if I'm being honest, from, you know, I'm no developer, but what my CTO over AIbox tells me that, you know, these AI models are notoriously bad at is, and as far as kind of the error that it pulled up, was like very often they will reference libraries or projects or a backend that doesn't exist because they're essentially replicating what code in the real world looks like, code that they were trained on GitHub from, and all of code, right, is referencing other libraries, other places. And so it's like, here's code that does what you're asking for, but like it's you know, so it can solve maybe like one element of the code, but it's not like building out your backend or like finding all your libraries or even finding real libraries that exist all the time. So there will definitely be a ton of errors. And so when people are like, oh my gosh, like these tools are completely replacing engineers, they're completely replacing like developers, this is a major area that is not solved whatsoever. So anyways, I'm interested to see kind of where they take that.
Devin actually decides to add a debugging print statement. Reruns the code with the debugging print statement and then uses the error in the logs to figure out how to fix the bug. Finally, Devin decides to